Hi, my name's Mandy, and I'm the RNLI Water Safety Officer for this area, as well as being crew on the inshore and all-weather lifeboats at Wells Station. This podcast is part of a larger series of podcasts that we're using to share local water safety knowledge with anyone interested in having fun at the beach and in the water around here. I hope you'll find them helpful in keeping you and your family that little bit safer when enjoying this coastline. So today I'm with Simon Blakely, one of Norfolk's marine police officers who covers the Norfolk coastline and inland waterways, and also having previously had a long career in various commercial marine environments. So Simon's going to go through with us some of the things that he sees regularly in his work as a marine police officer. I'm interested in what you've got to say about slipways, Simon.
Yeah, so going into that category of people that turn up with their own boats, especially boats that are trailed here, not so much the kayaks, but people with speed boats or sailing boats, they're going to launch them off the slipways. That's, you know, I suppose that's where they start, really. They've got to switch themselves on to safety as soon as they get to the slipway. And you know, that's really important, and there's a huge area for potential injury, even just launching and recovering your boat, really.
So what sort of things do you see sort of frequently people doing that?
So I've on a regular basis, I've seen and I've spoken to people that let their kids, while they're getting the boats ready, that they let their kids walk behind the boat as it's going down the slipway. I've seen boats come off the tow bar as they've gone down the slipway without a safety cord on. I've seen the boats come off the trailers on a slipway onto the shingle or the concrete, whatever the slipway is made of. And like I say, that, you know, there is you need to start thinking about you know, safety from that point. Actually, just hitching the boat up to the back of the car or the vehicle that you're going to bring it down to the coast. So you need to start thinking at that point, you know, how to do it safely.
So some simple advice for somebody that's got their boat hitched on the back of their car and they get here or one of the harbours along here and they get to a slipway, just some very simple advice that would help them be safer and keep their families safer. What would that look like, or what would that be?
My experience of slipways up here, and there aren't that many, is that they're always very busy. So from that point of view, you know, if you've got kids with you, it's keep them in the car for as long as possible. Don't let them wander about, because it might not be your boat that runs them over, or it might be someone else's boat. Keep them off the slipway to the side. Never walk behind a boat that's being reversed down behind the slipway.
Yeah.
Have a breakaway cable on it, like you should do on the road, but leave that on there. Make sure you don't undo your winch until you're happy to do so. Have a safety line as well as your winch. Obviously, with winches, and I've seen it so many times, is that as the winch starts unspooling, the mechanical advantage works in reverse. So the winch handle will fly around, you know, at a high speed, really, if your winch is still attached to the boat at that point when it reaches the water. So I tend to get to the slipway when I'm launching my own boats or the police boats. I will have the boat ready to launch, have an additional rope off the boat, off the bow of the boat, or the you know, the winching eye on the bow, have a secondary rope and have that around the winch post so that you can actually unhitch the winch once it's ready to launch.
Okay.
And then you can just let the boat off the trailer gently with the rope, so you haven't got any danger of the winch handle flying around and hitting.
Okay, so that's great. So keeping small people out the way of boats, yours and other people's, and also having that secondary line, so if something does go wrong, you have got a safety feature. That's great. I'm sure that if people can, you know, take that on board, then there will be a lot less accidents. Yeah. On slipways, especially in this area where, you know, the tidal, you know, there's the water's there for quite a short amount of time, and as you say, the slipways can get incredibly busy.
Yes.
Along this part of the course.
And be considerate to other boat users as well. You know, and I suppose in that sense, it's a kind of an etiquette that you would use on the slipway, really. So take your trailer board off before you put yourself on the slipway. You know, get everything ready, get it loaded up. Get everything on the boat that you need, that you're going to take out. obviously don't put people necessarily in the boat as you're driving down a slipway, but get everything ready before you go on the slipway and try and take as small amount of time as possible on the slipway.
Without rushing,
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And be considerate about where you park your car and your trailer so that other people can get past.
Lovely. Yeah. That's great. So that's a great start. So slipways, we can tick that box. That's great. So once people have got their boat safely into the water, do you see much in the way of boats that are overloaded?
Yes, it can happen. I think people get carried away with the fact that they're on holiday, and they want to maximise the fun that they have on the water, and that might involve taking a whole family out on a boat, which isn't necessarily big enough to take the whole family out on.
Yeah.
That is something that people need to be aware of.
I mean, we understand quite clearly that when boats are overloaded, their risk of capsize is significantly increased.
Absolutely, and it affects the stability of a boat if you put too many people in there.
It
lowers it right down into the water, so you've not got as much freeboard, which is the distance between the water and the top of the boat. It makes it harder for the engine to push it along.
And the helm to sea, I suppose.
Helm to sea as well, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So how would people know? Is there an easy way that people would know how many people or what the weight is for on a boat?
Yeah, definitely. So there's normally on newer boats, there is a plate on the transom which will tell you how much weight you can put in the boat, how big an engine you can put on it.
So is that a weight or the number of people?
Both.
Right, okay, that's useful.
Number of people. But if it's not on there, it's definitely worth checking before you launch your boat, before you buy your boat necessarily, how many people that can take comfortably. And that number is there for a reason.
It's just, of course.
It's not to be ignored.
Okay, so brilliant for overloaded boats. Check the plate on the back or check your manufacturer's instructions or the person that you've bought the boat from the weight of the boat can carry and or the number of people, and make sure that you're never exceeding that. That's great. One of the things that is talked about a lot, the Royal Yachting Association, the RYA, talk about it a lot. We talk about it a lot at the RNLI, is kill cords and use of kill cords. What do you see happening in the harbours that you're policing with regards to kill cords?
I quite often see people that have a complete disregard for putting a kill cord on. They don't wear them at all, or life jackets. But that's another subject. Kill cords are there for a reason. And as soon as you're underway, as soon as you're away from the pontoon or the slipway, that kill cord needs to go on. I can understand, some people might want to take it off as they come in to manoeuvre at a very slow speed, because they might be reaching across the boat and it's difficult if the engine cuts out just as they're kind of broadside to the tide or doing some slow speed manoeuvres coming alongside. I can understand them taking it off for that, but the advice is pretty much always wear your kill cord.
Certainly
when you're underway and doing any kind of manoeuvres away from coming ashore.
So again, from your perspective and what you see, why is the kill cord, what does the kill cord prevent from happening?
So the kill cord prevents, if you want to fall overboard as the helm, and you may even have other people on the boat, but they might not be able to react quick enough. As soon as you fall overboard and you're attached to the kill cord, it does exactly what it says. It kills the engine, stops the engine. And it's also worth having, it's a very good point, is having a spare kill cord on the boat, a spare clip on the boat. So that if you did fall in and the boat is then suddenly without power...
Yeah, somebody else can start it.
You're waiting for them to come back and pick you up.
Good point.
They could put up another kill cord in there to start the engine up and come and pick you up.
But
even just with one kill cord, it's still preferable that, the engine stops.
Yes.
If you're on your own or you've got other people on the boat that don't know what they're doing, the boat is basically going to steer itself around in concentric circles until it runs you over. And, there have been lots of... quite well-publicised events of that happening.
And that's really disconcerting.
Very serious injury.
And that would be really disconcerting, seeing your own boat coming back towards you.
And it will, that's what will happen. It will. best will in the world, it won't carry on steering straight. It'll start, you know, as you go over it, the chances are the helm will be over and it will start steering itself around in ever decreasing circles and until it runs you over. And that's, like I say, that's happened on numerous occasions.
Yeah.
It's a very good idea to wear any keel cord.
And they're very simple to use, aren't they?
Absolutely.
So, Simon, in terms of safety things and for people to be aware of, what do you think about, you know, things to highlight for people planning them going out for, you know, a sail or a little trot round in their motorboat or whatever it is?
Yeah, so a lot of the harbours, certainly in North Norfolk, are you're restricted by the tides. And generally up here you've got, it's worth finding out how long you've got from the slip where you launch out to be able to get back with plenty of water to recover your boat.
Yeah, that's an important thing to kick off with, yeah.
So, plan that into your day. Have a time period in mind. There's a very good saying that time and tide wait for no man. So you've really got to get yourself back to the slipway in good time. Also, it's also worth getting back, if you're a novice sailor or you don't know the area particularly well, is to get back in daylight unless you've got, better knowledge of being at sea and you've got the right equipment to be able to be out at night time, which would include sort of navigation lights and a very good knowledge of the harbour to get yourself back to the slipway.
Quite disorientating.
And getting yourself out of the water in darkness is obviously, is more difficult than doing it in daylight as well. So.
Yeah, that's really good. And what about, we know that obviously you're attending a lot of incidents where people have gotten themselves into trouble and haven't necessarily shared where they're going and when they're going to be back with somebody that maybe could have raised the alarm on their behalf.
Absolutely, no, definitely. It's always worth letting someone know what your rough plans are to be able to contact them. Mobile phone coverage in Norfolk is much better than it used to be, but it's worth having a method of communication. So, if you are planning on doing an extended trip, you just need to make sure that people know where you are and what kind of time roughly to expect you back.
Yeah.
And have that in mind as well. If you are delayed, is to make that call, and just say, we are okay, that we're on our way back, but we're a little bit delayed. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's better that than people not knowing where you are or what time to expect you back.
Yeah, I know that the RYA have an app called Safe Tracks that you can use to do exactly what you're talking about and have a contact number that Safe Tracks will call on your behalf if you're not back at the time. But having somebody knowing where you are and when you're going to be back is really important. If they can raise the alert on your behalf, that means somebody's looking for you sooner than they would be otherwise.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. That's great. So, Simon, just for us to sort of start to finish off, what do you think about, based on your experience of people that you see, with regards to tidal awareness and also local knowledge of the various harbours that we've got in this area?
Yeah, you just can't prepare enough, really, I think, when you come up. And it's really worth either talking to other local boat owners on the slipway, people that have got boats here, looking at the harbour websites, and just getting as much information as you can. The one thing you're not going to ever be able to argue with is when the tide's going to come in or when it's going to go out. And
It's very predictable.
It's very predictable. And it's just knowing when it's going to come in, knowing how much water your boat needs to get back to the slipway and to get it back onto a trailer, and planning accordingly, really. That's the main thing, really. It's planning to have a great day, but you also need to take it seriously and look at what time the tides are and get as much local knowledge as possible, because you'll just have so much of a better day, really.
If
you turn up and you run out of water on your way back to the slipway or you run aground, you damage your boat or you damage your engine, it's not going to enhance your day. It's just going to make you have a rubbish day and put you off boating. And that's the last thing we want to do is put anyone off. But just be prepared.
Yeah.
It's, and respect the water.
Yeah, and that's exactly where the Respect the Water campaign came from, the RNLI, that, you know, that the as you say, tide and time wait for no man, and, you know, we need to be able to work around the tides, because they're not going to work around us.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you.
As a recap then, Simon, slipways can be dangerous, busy places. Walk around the front rather than the back of a boat or vehicle. Have a secondary line on your winch for safety, and be organised before you get onto the slipway so that you're minimising the amount of time you're actually taking up the space. Avoid the increased risk of capsize by keeping the weight and number of people on board your boat within the boat specification. Use a kill cord and have a spare one just in case. Plan your day around the tides and make sure you've got a form of communication, a VHF radio or a charged mobile phone in a waterproof pouch are ideal. And let someone know on land where you're going to be and when you're going to be back, so that if you're not back, they can raise the alarm on your behalf. Respect the water by making sure you have as much local knowledge as possible. So thanks very much for your time today, Simon.